the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Welcome to Exploring the Word. Merry Christmas.
Well, I'm going to say something, and then it'll make sense after I explain it. Now, a lot of times that's not the case, but it's seven down and four to go. Now, what I mean by that, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 13 through 23, there's these judgments of the nations. And we've gone over the judgment of Babylon, Assyria, Philistia, Moab, Damascus, Ethiopia, and Egypt. But we lack Edom, Arabia, and Tyre or Phoenicia. And also thrown into that is Jerusalem. So we're going to get to these today. And in the midst of that judgment, Alex and I, especially Alex, has been saying, listen, right in the middle of that judgment, God gives this hope. And we hope you have knowledge of the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hope that you have is more than a hope so. It is a no-so hope if you've trusted Christ. Well, again, this is Bert Harper along with Alex McFarland. And it's our joy to be a part of AFR, American Family Radio. And it's really a terrific joy to be a part of the Exploring the Word team. There's Brent, there's Marty, Richard, Alex, and myself. And this is what we do. We want to share with you the good news of Jesus Christ. And Alex, in the book of Isaiah, I know it's judgment, but it's a 66 book, chapter book of hope, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And Bert, it's great to be with you, and we welcome everybody to follow along in Isaiah with us. And, you know, I got to say this. You mentioned it's great to be a part of the Exploring the Word team, and it really is. Would you believe since Monday, which is just, well, you know, 30 hours ago, I've talked to people from Florida that listen to the show, and they say it blesses them. I've talked to people from California, talked to people from Colorado, and talked to people from Indiana. And just in a day and a half, about four or five states, people are saying, we love this afternoon gathering around the Word of God. And I think the people most enthused about it of all, Bert, are you and me.
We are. We anticipate this. We look forward to it. We get to open the Word of God. And I want to tell you, truth. And we're living in 2025 when, listen, truth is a rare commodity. But when you open the Word of God, you're looking at truth. And yesterday, Alex, and I'll throw it back to you, we came across these words and God purposed it. God purposed it. When God has said it, that settles it. Someone has said, God settles it. I believe it. That take care of it. Well, listen, if God said it, that settles it whether you believe it or not, you know?
Yeah,
and God,
exactly.
But we do want to agree with God, don't we?
Yes, we do. And the thing about all these judgments of all these ancient nations, I want to be clear. I got this question not long ago speaking to some college students about why was God so angry and judgmental? And, well, God is righteous, and that's part of his eternality. There is no death in God. There is no sin in God. There is no darkness. And honestly, folks, in calling us to repent of sin, in calling us to be born again and forgiven, and then to live righteously, that's an act of love on God's part, because sin, whether it be, you know, backsliddenness and idolatry and paganism and carnality, all these immoral things that were part of the Gentile nations, they bring death. They bring destruction. And in telling us to repent and then be ye holy as I am holy, that's really God showing us love, because God is inviting us to the pathway of life, isn't he?
He really is. And listen, if you who are listening do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, you're missing out on what Stephen Curtis Chapman called the great adventure. It is. It's the greatest adventure of faith that you could ever have, filled with hope, challenges, blessings beyond measure. Is it easy? No. It's got some rough stuff in it, but you have a friend that goes with you through that stuff. And guess what, Alex? No matter if you're saved or lost, you're going to go through the stuff. What I mean by that, the difficulties of life. But when you know Christ, you have someone that will not bail out on you. He's there with you while you're going through it. Speaking of that, in chapter 20, it's kind of a climax to chapter 19. It's really telling you about an experience that Isaiah did to demonstrate the judgment that was coming. And he's going to go through life with not a lot of clothes on for 3 years to demonstrate what was going to happen to this country. And so here it was. He was demonstrating it, not only preaching it, but demonstrating it as well, wasn't he?
He really was. In chapter 20, in the year that Tartan came unto Ashdod, what's happening is the Assyrians conquered Ashdod. Now, Ashdod was a city of Philistines, and this is getting very close to Judah, isn't it?
Closer and closer and kind of certain circles it, doesn't it?
Well, it really does. And like verse 3 and 4, and the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah hath walked barefoot naked, and 3 years for a sign and a wonder upon Egypt and Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners, and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their backside uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. So in a way, you know, Isaiah had been doing a prayer walk, getting this vision, and a lot of what God put on his heart is what really, really happened to these Egyptians. And let me say that, Bert, you know, sometimes prophets of old, it seems like the vision would so much consume them that they would, you get the impression it was probably very taxing physically and psychologically to get a vision, because in some way the, I'm going to say this, Bert. There's an old saying I heard, you might remember it. It's like, before the sermon gets a hold of the listeners, it has to get a hold of the preacher.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And Isaiah demonstrates that. And
yes.
Ezekiel is Jeremiah thrown into the pit. I mean,
exactly.
There was a price to pay in being a prophet of God, wasn't there?
Well, I'm going to say it's a price to pay for being an evangelist or preacher even nowadays.
Even today. Preach it, yes.
You know, and let me say this. Which was the prophet, refresh my memory, that laid down for like a long, long time? Do you remember there was one of the prophets that laid down on the ground for like 3 years or something like that? Do you remember that?
I do remember it, and it's fading my... Hey, when you got the whole Old Testament to look at, Brent's going to, he's going to go through his mind. No, he's looking, he's checking it out and see if he can find out and let us know.
But
it did consume them. So, is that what we're saying? It just,
And so Isaiah got this sign and he walked barefoot, and that's exactly what happened, how these Egyptians were led away. But what's happening is, let me read this, like in verse 6. 20 is a very brief chapter. And the inhabitant of this isle shall say in that day, behold, such is our expectation. Whether we flee for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria, how shall we escape? And Judah is saying, we got no hope. I mean, if the Egyptians are going to get captive and other nations, the steamroller called Assyria is going to get us too. But listen to this. There is sanctuary in God. There is. But the people are beginning to get afraid, at least the people that have presence of mind.
Well, as they see nation and nation fall, you know, it should get their attention. And Brent says, you were right, it was Ezekiel in chapter 4. That was it.
Good job, Brent.
Way to go. Chapter 21 goes to Babylon. And notice, it's the burden. And notice that term is used again and again on each one of these countries, or sometimes a city that is the head of the country, and the burden was a heavy weight, the judgment. And it goes along with what you was just saying. It wasn't just heavy far as the content. It weighed heavy on the person who was delivering it. And I think you can identify with that, Alex. I can as pastor. Sometimes God would place on my heart a message that I knew the church needed to hear. But sometimes looking at the scriptures, it wasn't one of pleasantness. It was a burden. And here it is, the burden in the wilderness of the sea. And notice what it says in verse 1, as the whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it comes from the desert, from a terrible land. Now, you know, when you have whirlwinds coming in from the dry place, it is very difficult and hard. It's like a drought. As treachery, as distress and vision is declared to me. Now, this is, I just underlined it because I couldn't get over it. The treacherous dealer deals treacherously, and the plunderer plunders. That's what they do. I mean, if it's treacherous, it's going to deal treacherously. If it's a plunderer, they're going to plunder, aren't they?
Well, you know, I got to paraphrase the teenagers. They'll say, hater's going to hate, you know, plunder's going to plunder.
That's it.
But and he talks about the pain he feels in his body. He is dismayed at the hearing of it. Verse 4, my heart panted. Fearfulness affrighted me. I love the way the King James renders stuff. Fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath turned into fear unto me. Prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink. Arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. In other words, get ready for battle. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses, a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed, and he cried, a lion, my Lord. So this is a real the alarm bells are sounding, you might say, that, you know, get ready because we see danger on the horizon.
And this also reminds you of Ezekiel, the watchman, Ezekiel 33, and you be on the watchtower. Now, let's go to verse 9, and here it is, after seeing all this coming, the judgment that is coming like a wind from the desert, trying to, you know, do away with it, seeing the chariots coming fully loaded. And it says in verse 9, look, here comes a chariot of men with a pair of horsemen. And he answered and said, here it is, Babylon is fallen, and all the carved images of her gods he has broken to the ground. Now, yes. Alex, again, what's been consistent about these countries is in their paganism and looking to their idols, none of those idols have been able to deliver them from the judgment. That is true. That is so true. And what do we do? Now, our idols are different, but it can be economy, our bank account. It can be insurance. It could be science. Listen, no, we turn to God. It doesn't mean you do away with a sense of economy or the sense of science or education, but what is eternal is lasting is God in being with Him. And so that's for sure being taught in these chapters, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And, you know, we're going to tie this Isaiah 21:9 to Revelation 18.
Yes, it is.
And also, there's a couple of more words in this chapter that are really thematic for all of the Bible regarding judgment. This is Exploring the Word. Bert Harper and Alex, stay tuned. We're back after this brief break. More of Isaiah, plus your calls. Stay tuned.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped to rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible.
Get out the Christmas records, and maybe you do at your house too. Hey, Alex McFarland here, Bert Harper. Now, before we resume Isaiah, Brent Austin, our very faithful engineer, I love that song, and he was asking Bert and I to identify who was the singer in that beautiful tenor voice. Brother Brent, I confess, I can't quite place it, but it sure was pretty. Bert, do you have an idea?
Well, I can eliminate somebody. It wasn't Bert Harper.
Yeah. Folks, it wasn't Bert in there.
Honest. Okay. Who was it, Brent?
That was Squire Parsons.
I thought it might be. I did not say it. That crossed my brain.
I got you. And it only gets worse,
man. Way to go. Keep on doing it, Brent. I love the new ones, but I also, man, hard to beat Away in a Manger and Silent Night. I'm just telling you.
Wow. And hey, Bert, do you and Jan have a favorite Christmas record?
Well, we have had, especially when the boys were there, they were real simple. When we had three sons, and back then it was a turntable, okay?
So you could get that. Hey, we still got one.
Okay, and that record, so you could hear that, I don't know, hissing sound or whatever it was, and our boy, and we were talking about it the other day with one of our sons, how said, man, that was awesome. But listen, I just like them all. I really do. I like Christmas music.
I do too. Hey, before the break, we were there in Isaiah 21, and I wanted to read something here because it says, you know, Babylon is fallen in verse 9, and that's really referenced in Revelation chapter 18, verse 2, during the tribulation. Now, there was a great Bible teacher years ago named Warren Wiersbe. He's been dead a few years, but he would always talk about the now and the not yet. And yeah, there was judgment on Babylon, and Babylon was it about 586 BC that Babylon fell?
It was, if I remember my numbers right.
But in the future, there's going to be this global Babylon. Now, what's and it will fall during the tribulation period. And the global, really kind of, if you will, the spirit of Babylon, you know, paganism, a world system that excludes the true God and persecutes the followers of God. But also there's a reference not only in verse 9, but in verse 10, O my threshing and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared to you. All right, the threshing. Bert, as I have studied 40 times in the Bible, there's discussion of the God's threshing floor. And that always connotes judgment.
It does.
You know, the wheat separated from the husks, and the husks are burned away. And so just as God threshed or judged and sifted the sinful nations of old, we still have a righteous God who most certainly is the judge of all the world. You know, we hear this, judge not, judge not. Well, let me tell you, the Word of God judges. Amen. If we're wise, we'll heed to it. And then ultimately, there is going to be all of humanity will pass through God's threshing floor, won't they?
They really will. And we should judge ourselves through the Word of God, not just look at everything ourselves. Are we doing that? When you see the word threshing and what it's the purpose, there's some other element that comes in, and it's wind. Okay, mm-hmm. Because what you do, you beat that threshing, whatever grain it is, and then you pour it out, and the wind blows all that that is needless away. It kind of judges and gets away that which is unnecessary and that which is remaining. So with that in mind, remember what it said in chapter 21, verse 1, the whirlwinds. Yes. You know, it's going to come. And the threshing and wind, when you see that, Alex, I think you're exactly right. Judgment is upon them.
Well, I just want to chase a rabbit for just a second. There's a book, and I've mentioned it many of a time, called Number in Scripture by E.W. Bullinger. And, you know, don't go to seed on it, as we say. But it is interesting. Okay, there's Babylon and the threshing floor, and there's the judge and there's judgment. Well, threshing is mentioned 40 times in the Bible, and 40 seems to connote purification. Let me give you some examples. When the flood of Noah came, how long did it rain? 40 days and 40 nights. When Israel failed at Kadesh Barnea, did not enter the land in faith and obedience, how long did they wander? 40 years. You know, over and over, Nineveh was given 40 days to repent. Bert, doesn't 40 seem to connote judgment and purification?
It does, Alex. And when you see a number that's used again and again, don't ignore it. Just because there was 153 fish or whatever it was, be careful. Be careful. I know people say, okay, that denotes this many days. Just, you know, as you said, don't go to seed. But these numbers that are continually used again and again should get our attention. I agree with you fully, Alex. So here's the threshing of the grain. And then he switches from Babylon to Edom. Now, when Edom is judged, we're looking at kinfolks of the Jews, Alex, okay? You're looking at Esau's descendants. Yeah. And now he says, Dumah, but it's Edom. He calls me out of Seir. That was the town or city. Watchman, what is of the night? Watchman, what of the night? As it repeats itself. The watchman comes. Now here it is. The morning comes and also the night. Okay. And here it is. If you inquire, inquire. Return, come back. Here it is, right in the middle of this chapter, something about inquire of the Lord, return, and come back. So we've talked about it just about in every chapter, some hope in each one, Alex.
Amen. He goes, you know, there is admonitions and warnings about Dumah and Mount Seir, by the way, S-E-I-R, that's a very significant mountain in the journeys of Israel. And if you want to read about that, go to Deuteronomy 2. That's a fascinating chapter. Many have preached on watchmen, what of the night? Isn't that something? The watchman said, the morning cometh and also the night. If you will inquire ye, return and come. Bert, we are a nation, not gonna belabor this point, but America ought to inquire of the watchman.
Amen.
And those of us that are watchmen on the wall, and really every Christian is, we say, turn to the Savior, repent, and inquire of the Lord. And what about the night? Well, it's coming, but God's mercies are new every morning. And if we as a nation would repent, God would show us mercy. But there is a burden about Arabia. The inhabitants of the land of Timah brought water to him that was thirsty and prevented with their bread him that fled. Really, verse 14, that there was a little bit of ministry to those that were trying to flee and run, flee from the swords and from the grievousness of war. For thus the Lord said unto me, within a year according to the years of a hireling, and all the glory of Kedar shall fail. And by the way, there were... lumber was a big industry for that region. They were a region with some wealth. The residue of the number of archers, the mighty men of the children of Kedar, shall be diminished, for the Lord God of Israel hath spoken it. So there's this judgment that Isaiah sees that's coming to all the surrounding people. Let me say this. God's judgment is very thorough, isn't it?
It is. And notice the last term, God of Israel has spoken it. Isaiah continually lets them know, this is not me, this is God. Good preaching, as best I can say, is we'll leave our opinions out of it as best we can. And yes, the things that are definite, be as definite on it, be truthful. Those things that are as not as clear as others, the Bible makes it plain. We're saved by grace through faith. Make it plain. The Bible says and makes it plain that Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's coming back to change everything around. He's going to make it plain. And so why do we do that? The God has spoken it. Alex, what I loved Billy Graham. I loved to hear him preach. How he could deliver, how he could demand attention was always amazing to me, just not all of the things, but how he did it. But you know what he'd do if he was being interviewed on, you remember when Larry King would interview him, he'd even be on Johnny Carson.
That's true.
And he'd say, the Bible says, the mm-hmm. Bible says. Billy Graham stuck to the Word of God. We would be wise to stick to the Word of God ourselves, would we not?
Amen. Amen. If you want to read ahead, you know, we're going to dip our toe into chapter 22. Chapter 22 is actually kind of long. We can't do all of 22 before this break, but stick to the Word of God. That Bert and I both, years before we ever knew each other, in both of our journeys, we had just made that decision. And you know, Bert, I remember, I give God the glory, but I was a young Christian in college, had not really discovered Josh McDowell yet or the great apologetics books, which would very much shape my life. But I just remember my friends and a few of my professors just kind of mocked Christianity. This was the late 1980s. And I just remember I had this little Bible that I was given when I was a little bitty baby. But I just thought, I'm going to believe this.
Amen.
You know, I just
wise decision. Why
everything I ever studied validated that and corroborated that. But the Holy Spirit, and it was not me, it was completely the Holy Spirit, but God just impressed on my heart that the Bible is the Word of God, and it's the Word of God that we are to follow, and the Word of man cannot topple the Word of God. And I learned the word presupposition. I didn't know that word back then, but I presupposed this is the Bible and I will follow it. And I just want to challenge everybody. Look, you can spend your life studying. All of the data will validate and confirm it. History, archaeology, the manuscripts, the preservation, by 36 vantage points, the Holy Bible is proven to be true. If you want to go off on that journey of study, that's fine. But I'm just telling you, it's God's Word.
Amen.
It's true.
Chapter 1, verse 1 of Genesis, in the beginning, God. I remember the preacher that said, okay, guys, you know, there's questions we don't know. There's issues that we have to deal with. But just start and listen, in the beginning, God. And that's who he is. He never stepped off the throne. He stayed there. He's still on it and will remain there. And he's given us his word. I love the book of Hebrews. God has spoken in these latter days. He's spoken through the law. He spoke through the prophets. He spoke through the angels. But in these last days, these days, he has spoken through his son. And when you get Jesus Christ, and they're saying, we would see the Father, and Jesus say, hey, do you not know that when you have seen me, when you have heard me, you have seen and heard the Father, and I'm adding the heard to, I know I am. But yes, he is God, and you can depend on him.
Amen. Well, chapter 2, there is another burden of the valley of the vision. What ails thee now that thou art wholly gone up to the housetops? Thou that art full of stirs, a tumultuous city, a joyous city, thy slain men are not slain with the sword, nor dead in battle. Okay, there are so many things going on that this person goes up to the housetop maybe to pray, you know. But really what 22 is this valley of vision. God has taken away the covering or the protection of Judah. And, you know, it goes on, and this will take a couple of days to reach this, about the key of David or the authority of David being given away, taken away, really. But there's just not only the warning of judgment, but the call for repentance. And it says, you know, verse 16, and we'll go back and come back to it here, but he says, look, it's as futile as trying to carve out a habitation for yourself in a rock. Behold, the Lord will carry thee away with a mighty captivity and will surely cover thee. You can't hide from God, and you can't carve out a hiding place for yourself. Like, you can't define what repentance looks like. You have to come to God God's way. And Bert, even in all these ancient burdens, these visions about ancient people, there's application for us today, because we are to repent and turn to truth once we become aware of it.
As you read through this, the first few verses, here it is, and as we're getting ready to close, it's a day of prayer, by the way, and if you want to call, you can ask your question. We'll get to that if we can as well. But we call Tuesday a day of prayer, and that number is 888-589-8840. The lines are open. We'd love to hear from you today. But Alex, when you read this in 1 through 7, and again, we'll cover some of this tomorrow, but I could not wait to get to verse 8. He removed the protection of Judah. When that happens and the protection is gone, listen, judgment comes. You'd be surprised what God filters out, because he loves us. So listen, turn to him. Matt, give us a call. We'd love to hear your prayer requests today.
Do you feel like you don't fully grasp the true depth of issues like religious liberty, sanctity of human life, stewardship, or marriage and family? AFA Activate is a Bible-based course with 13 different professors leading 18 sessions that can help you become an active, knowledgeable world changer. Do it by yourself, with your family, or church small group, and right now you can get 50% off. But hurry, this offer ends December 12th. Visit activate.afa.net today.
Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Psalm 139, 23 through 24.
American Family Radio.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appears and the soul felt its worth.
Amen. It is Christmas time, so we're hearing those Christmas carols, those Christmas hymns, and we hope your days are going good, and we pray you'll have a Merry Christmas. And I know it's a bit difficult for some. Matter of fact, since it's a day of prayer, I'm going to start off praying for those who have lost loved ones in 2025, and it's their first Christmas without maybe their spouse, without their parents, with maybe a child. And Alex, we know how hard that is. And so it is a day of prayer, and that number is 888-589-8840. But if you have a Bible question, we'll try to get to it as well. We try to do both, but we do make Tuesday a day of prayer. Alex, is it hard if I pray? Like I said, it just burdened my heart when I was talking about the first Christmas without a loved one.
I think that would be good, Bert.
Okay.
Lead us.
I'll do it. Father, I thank you for your love for us, that we've talked about it in this program, that you go with us through the difficult things in life. And some of those difficulties is a loved one dying. And when they go to heaven, we rejoice that they're there, but we still miss them here. And if it's a loved one that was not saved, Father, our hearts are just overwhelmed with grief. But during this period of time, I pray you would be with those who are hurting, those that have difficulty in overcoming the grief. And the Bible doesn't condemn grief. It just says we don't grieve as those that have no hope. Father, we have hope in Christ Jesus. So I pray you'd put that hope deep in our hearts, strengthen those who are hurting. And Father, may your Holy Spirit just guard them, strengthen them, and help them. And Father, I pray for churches, families, for those that have lost loved ones, that they would find someone that they could come alongside of them and be there with them as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bert, can I ask for a prayer request? I live near Greensboro, and a nearby area, there's a little community called Alamance, and there's another little town called Burlington. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but just a couple of weeks ago, there were six teenagers in a car, and I think about half of them were, 16, 17, underage, and they took a curve at 94 miles an hour, and I think four of them died, and a couple are in intensive care, and they were all just, as far as I know, like very, very, very intoxicated, and I mean, it has shaken this community like you wouldn't believe. It's just tragic. There's no two ways about it. It's just tragic, tragic. And there's a lot of young people that have very bereaved, a lot of families. And just if you, the car wreck in Central North Carolina, just pray for that, folks. God knows what it is. Very tragic, isn't it?
It is, Alex. And decisions. And those of you who are young people and you're listening, your children, your teenagers, those decisions can really bless you or curse you. Make those decisions with God in mind. Alex, where do we go to first?
We are going to begin in Mississippi. Dennis in Mississippi. Dennis, thank you for calling and welcome to Exploring the Word. Hey, Dennis.
I'm calling you guys today. Hello?
Yeah, you're on. You're on.
I'm calling you guys today to thank you for a prayer that y'all lifted up on November 11th for infant baby Evie. She's going to be with Jesus now. She's going to be with Jesus. And the prayer that you guys lifted up has taken an unbelievable life of its own. It's now been recorded and played in NICUs, ICUs, nurseries, daycares, and it's in the hospitals of four different states in the Gulf region. And it's just unbelievable that so many people have called wanting to know where they could hear your prayer. And we nicknamed it Evie's Prayer that I've memorized. AFR.net, Exploring the Word, November 11th, minute 36.
Wow.
But where our understanding of events is lacking, our faith in God has sustained us. And I'm beginning to wonder if maybe baby Evie was sent to deliver that prayer, because she was with a lot of other infants that didn't have a prayer.
Wow.
And, thanks to baby Evie, they all have one now. And I'll,
Dennis, thank you for calling. God uses us. I just going to comment. God says, I've chosen the foolish things, the weak things in this world. And Alex, I'm constantly reminded that God can use this program, which is not foolish, which is not weak, but it's strong and it is mindful. But God uses it to touch lives. And thank you, Dennis.
Amen. Amen. Chris in Tennessee, on this day of prayer for exploring the Word. Welcome, Chris.
Hello, Bart and Alex. It's wonderful to talk to you after listening to you for so many years. I just want to tell you what a great blessing you guys have both been to me over the last 10 years. I've learned so much, and I've grown closer to the Lord, and you guys are just, you're just fantastic. And I've often thought, when I grow up, I want to be just like Alex.
Oh, my goodness. Be careful.
But be careful what you ask for. You may get it. Okay, no. Go.
God bless you. We give God the glory.
We do.
Well, you guys, tremendous blessing to me. The entire American Family Radio and the American Family Association has been such a blessing. I'd like to say that I just stumbled upon American Family Radio, but we all know that that's no accident.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, thank you. And Chris, do you have a prayer request?
I do. I have 76 cents to my name. The Social Security office sent my benefits to the wrong address, and now they're telling me that I have to travel about an hour to the nearest office to get my benefits. My truck, it has no insurance, and the tags are expired. I have no way of getting there, and I'm very low on food. I need a miracle.
Okay, Chris, so, let me ask you a question. If you don't mind, you don't have to answer this. Where in Tennessee are you located?
Lebanon.
Lebanon. If there is someone in Lebanon, Chris, is it? You don't have to tell me your full name. We don't need to know that on radio. But if there's somebody in Lebanon that could answer Chris's prayer by being the agent that God would send to help Chris get to those locations, respond. And I tell you what, if you'll help Chris, you can call 888-589-8840. Richard will get your number, and we'll put you in touch with Chris because we want Chris's phone number. Okay? Mm. Alex?
Amen.
The reason I do this, I remember, and it's emotional for me, I remember on a cold winter night at Ingomar Baptist Church where I was pastor, Wednesday night, it was so cold, and I would say 20 people showed up for prayer meeting that night, and there was a house that was burned, and so we were praying for them urgently, but I heard a door open, and I thought somebody was coming in, but no, it was one of our men leaving, and he left, and I said, well, I wonder what happened to Mr. Coates. That was his last name. Well, we went ahead and prayed for him and everything, and he came back in before we dismissed in prayer, and I went to him. I said, what happened, Mr. Coates? He said, hey, I wanted to help answer that prayer. I went to see that family, and I took them some things. And and so, Alex, yeah, we pray, but sometimes feet need to be put to the prayers, don't they?
God bless you. God bless
Chris,
you.
Chris, we put him on hold, and let's get his phone number, guys. Make sure we do that.
Also in Tennessee, Ethan. Ethan, you're on Exploring the Word.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all. I just wanted to call in and give an update for my mom. She's going through chemo treatments for cancer, and she had a very important scan done Thursday and got really good news that it seemed like the treatments were working very well, so they wanted to put off doing the surgery for another month and a half or so to continue with the treatment since her body seems to be reacting well to them, so I just wanted to call and thank everybody that has been praying for Nikki, and thank y'all for doing that. And please continue those prayers. And also my granddad, my granddad's having a lot of pain in around his neck and ear area where he has recently been done with some radiation for cancer, and he's having a lot of pain, and just want to continue prayers for him.
Okay.
Amen. We will do that. Thank you for sharing that, Ethan. And there's several I'm reading, and I want to try to get to as many as we can. Let's go to Rick in West Virginia. Rick, welcome to the program.
I certainly appreciate you guys taking the call, and I'll make this quick. But there's a local little girl. I live in southern West Virginia, but she actually lives in Virginia, an 11-year-old girl named Bella. And she's right now at St. Jude's in Memphis. She's got a brain tumor that's cancerous, that's doubled in size in the last 30 days. And they're doing what they can, but she needs all the prayers she can get. And I know this program, how much many prayers go up through it, and I just wanted to see if y'all would pray for her and just pray that the doctors are amazed she can even still walk and talk, but she's amazing them, blowing their minds, really, the condition, the way the tumor is. So we'd certainly appreciate prayers for Bella.
Thank you, mm-hmm. Rick.
Hey, Bert, for Ethan and the prayer request, I believe it was for his mom and for this little girl at St. Jude. Would you lead us, Bert?
I will. Father, I thank you that we can come to you, that the middle wall of partition is broken down, torn in two from top to bottom, and we can come directly to you. And we're asking you to minister to this family, because it's the whole family that's involved with Bella. And I pray for healing for her. God, use what St. Jude does and what they've discovered works. But also, Father, I pray that you just touch her life with your healing hand. For Ethan and all that has gone on with him, Father, I'm praying, God, that you would just do that work that you've done, and good work, and continue to do to bring about good. And yes, we want it all to redound to your glory. We want to, just like those wise men came to adore that King of Kings, the King of the Jews, we want to please you and glorify you in our words, in our actions. And Father, may this happen in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Deborah in North Carolina. Deborah, that's a Bible name, you know it?
Amen.
I love my name. God was good to me. That Amen. Name, that God told him to name me that, and I really appreciate that. All right, thank you. I called for prayer for myself, but then I thought about my friend Mary. She has a really bad back. She broke her back. So could we please pray for Mary that she get a healing? She stays in a lot of pain. So we could just pray that she'd be pain-free. Thank you.
Amen. Let me lead us. Father, thank you for Deborah. What a lovely biblical name, and what a dear sister in Christ, and her friend Mary who broke her back. Lord, please heal. I pray there'd be no lasting repercussions. Minimize that pain. And Lord, we do lift up Mary to you now. Lift up Deborah as well for all of her physical needs. And Lord, no doubt there's many people listening, and they've got everything from maybe a few aches and pains to overt illnesses. Father, give your body of believers health that we might serve you. Give us strength. And Lord, give us just that fresh touch of your power, ability, strength, and wholeness. We lift up Deborah, Mary, and all believers to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Going to go to Kevin in Arkansas. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I want a prayer request for my daughter, Mary. She went to the doctor yesterday. She's now in the ICU at the hospital. They found that she had high blood sugar, dehydrated, and her blood pressure was 50 over 40. And we thank God she was able to get to the doctor to get that found out. But I want prayer that she would be able to, God would heal her, and that the doctors would see what was causing it and take care of it.
And what's her first name again, please?
Her name is Mary.
Mary. All right, Kevin, we will sure do that. Thank you for calling in. Bert, I know that time almost fleets away, and I'm going to, before I ask you to pray for Mary, I want to reiterate, folks, you might have heard me mention, Saturday I went to New York City to visit a friend in the hospital, Ted. He has bone marrow cancer, but he's doing better. And I got to tell you, I was praying over Ted Saturday, and the doctor kind of said, the ball's in your court. You've got to have some fight. Well, I just heard he's doing really good. He's rallying. But if you would, folks, he's a Christian brother. Bombard heaven with prayers for Ted battling bone marrow cancer in New York City. Bert, would you take us out, sir?
Father, I pray for Mary there in Arkansas. God, just thank you for her dad. dads that are godly that would pray for their daughter. I pray for Ted, God, that fighting spirit that you can give them to not just survive but thrive. I pray you'd help him and those children, those young people and families in North Carolina after the wreck. Yeah. Minister to them. Have your way. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio.
They will thrust a cell phone in your face if you ask a question. They'll surround you with cameras. They'll scream at you. They'll try to get you to commit violence. I believe God is giving us a little bit of a glimpse into what life without Him would be like.
A Disciple's View with Todd Herman. Critical information from a faith-enriching perspective. Weekdays at noon Central on AFR.
This is American.